measurement of time. But that little bird had to come once every million years and take away one grain at a time. A million years later, another grain. Must be beginning. That's how long hell is. In fact, you can't say how long hell is because it has no end. No redemption. Let your mind go as far as it can and stop and go further. You don't go too far, you might lose your mind. Have you ever tried to do that? God had no beginning, no end. Can you picture a hell with no end? No end, all through eternity, lost. Who's going there? Who's going to hell? All right, the Pharisees said to Jesus, Lord, are there few that are going to be saved? Now listen to me quickly, clearly. I'm going to make a statement, listen to it. The majority of mankind is going to hell. I'll say it again. The majority of the population of the earth is going to hell. You look at New York City. Oh, by the way, they asked Jesus that. Are there going to be many that be saved? You know what Jesus said? Listen to me. Enter in. He's answering this question. Enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which are going in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that will find it. Few. The majority are going to hell. Think of New York City, the greater New York area, 16 million people. You say, Brother D, that doesn't seem fair. Suppose the disciples, what if Paul the Apostle lived today? Would there, maybe we'd have a revival and more wouldn't have to go to hell. What about it, living in this city, walking these streets? You people that go to work. You people that live in this city. Has it ever bothered you? Have you ever thought, look at the subway when it's packed or the buses? Have you ever said, oh God, how many of these are going to be saved? How many are going to heaven? And what's your heart tell you? What's the Holy Ghost tell you? There's not a handful in this city. There's not a handful in this city going to be saved. I mean, if a million people got right with God, that's just a handful. You say, well, what if Paul the Apostle lived? Well, Paul the Apostle did live with the great city. The New York of his day was Athens. And Paul, Scripture said, waited for them at Athens, and his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. The whole city of Athens was lost. The whole city was given to idols. In fact, there were just a few, and there's so few they even named those that came under Paul's preaching. The Scripture says, certain men clave unto him and believed. And then they went on and named about three or four people. Certain ones clave to the gospel. But the whole city of Athens went to hell. The whole city of Babylon went to the hell. The whole city of Rome went to hell. The majority of New York, the majority of the United States are going to hell. Do you know that there were only four people saved out of Sodom and Gomorrah? Lot and his wife and his two daughters. Do you know when God destroyed the earth, there were only eight souls saved? The Bible says, 1 Peter 3:20, where in few, that is, only eight souls were saved by water. Only eight souls were saved out of the whole population of the world. John wrote, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in darkness. The whole world lies in darkness. All right, who's going to hell? First of all, I said the majority of population is going to hell. And then in Revelation, would you turn to Revelation 21:8? These are the obvious ones who are going to hell. Then we'll go to the ones who are not so obvious. I'm going to preach 1 hour tonight, but you're going to get this good. Who's going to hell? I wonder if you're going to find, if you find yourself in this list, oh God, put His holy fear in your heart. Bring you to repentance tonight. 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and warmongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, so what? Have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All right, now just hold your hand there. I mean, leave your Bible open there and look this way, please. That fearful, I'm going to go down this list very quickly. The fearful, in the original, that means the faithless. Those who threw their faith away. Those who once trusted Jesus, this means faithless. They once had faith, now they're faithless. They've walked out on their faith in Jesus. second, the unbelieving. That means those who will not respond to the call of the gospel. They're gospel hardened. They've heard so much gospel, they've hardened their hearts. We've got some people in this church tonight just like that. You've heard it so many times, your heart is hard. Nothing moves you, not even a message on hell. The Bible said the abominable. The Scripture says in works they deny Him being abominable. They're abominable because of their evil works. The Scripture says no murderers. And what the Bible says, if any man hate his brother, he's a murderer. And no murderer shall have eternal life. He that hates his brother. You know what that really should say? He that hates his brother shall have his place in the lake of fire. Anybody here tonight have any hatred or bitterness towards your brother or sister? Come on. Let me read it again. If any man hate his brother, he's a murderer. And no murderer shall have eternal life. No murderer. Yes, I didn't shoot anybody. The Bible says you're a murderer. If you have any hatred, bitterness in your heart towards your brother. The Scripture talks about warmongers. That's harlots. Fornication. Any sexual debauchery. Anything that's still... sorcerers. That means those who sell, produce, distribute illegal drugs. In fact, it's the original says poison drugs. Poison drugs. Idolaters. Those who worship or sit before any kind of an image or idol. All liars. And the Bible says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? I'll tell you what. When I looked at this list, you know what I began to pray? Oh, Lord Jesus, I want red hot faith. I want obedience to your word. I don't want to be sitting in front of some dumb, stupid idol. Got anybody got an idea what that might be? I don't want any immorality in my life. I don't want to hate anybody. I want no drug habit in my life. I want to be under the total lordship of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Isn't that your prayer tonight? Who's going to hell? Anyone who visits a prostitute. I'm going to read it to you. Just listen now. And by the way, all married Christian women who indulge with somebody else, I'm telling you, that's prostitution. And the Bible talks about a strange woman. A strange woman, sir, is any other woman who's not your own. Doesn't mean she has to be walking the street. She can be talking in tongues. She's a prostitute, brother. I had someone tell me, some preacher tell me after he got caught, he said, oh, but my relationship with her, all we did was talk about Jesus. We had such beautiful prayer meetings. Oh, how the devil can lie. It's plain old prostitution, the Bible says. And I tell you, the Bible speaks clearly about hell and prostitution. I'm going to read to you. Don't turn. Proverbs 5:3. For the lips of a strange woman, and a strange woman is any woman who's not yours. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb. Her mouth is soothing as butter, but her end is bitter. Her feet go down to death. Her steps will take you right down to hell. Proverbs 7:27, her house is the way to hell. Proverbs 9:18, her guests are already in the depths of hell. All those who visit her, there are men, some of you sitting here tonight. And some of the wives say, I know who you're talking about. And I'm not trying to be funny. It's not funny. But you have the idea that it's not cheating on your wife if you visit a prostitute. Now, if you went with someone else's wife, you would say that's very evil. But because she's a prostitute, she's professional, there's no sin to that. Oh, were you wrong? You are already clutched by the fires of hell, the Scripture said. Who's going to hell? The Bible said, whoever's not found written in the book of life. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And the Bible said only those written in the Lamb's book of life will be saved. Now there's two. There's a book. It's called the Lamb's book of life. And in this book, written by the blood of Jesus Christ, is the name of every believer who has looked up to Jesus to live. Everyone, in fact, the Bible says there's a way to determine whether or not you're in that book. Every man who lives not unto himself, but unto the Lord. Those who live for themselves, their own habits, their selfishness, are not going to be written in the book of life. The Lamb's book of life. Now, listen. Here's the Scripture. John said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened. Now, you see, there's a set of books, and there's a book. All right, this set of books is, I call the books of remembrance. Now, listen to it. And the dead will be judged out of those things written in the books according to their works and their deeds. Now, listen. Jesus has made His servants a promise. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed with white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before all the holy angels. Hallelujah. God said, you walk with me, I'll never blot your name out. You stand with me in my righteousness, and you hate your sin, and you serve me and walk not for the flesh but for the Spirit, and I'll never blot your name out of the book. Hallelujah. But there's another set. There's a set of books. One for every sinner. And sinner, you may have your name on it tonight. You're going to stand before the great white throne judgment. I tell you, we've got such an omnipotent God. He could do this in just one moment. Or He could take an eternity. Since time will be no more. I mean, those could stand one at a time before His eternal throne. But God's so omnipotent, so all-powerful. Because He's everywhere at one time. This could be an everywhere at one time judgment on all ungodly. But the Bible said every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. Every eye's going to behold Him. And then the books are going to be opened. And you'll be judged by every deed or every work. And by the way, there are going to be a lot of surprised people there. A lot of surprised people are going to be damned. So not so much for what they did, but what they didn't do. And they're going to be shocked. Many are going to come saying, Lord, Lord, we cast out devils, we healed the sick, we did mighty works. And He'll say, I didn't even know you. Depart. Take Him away. Take her away. This surprised multitude. You know what the Scripture says? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? They neglected. They didn't take God serious. They didn't take preaching like this serious. Isaiah warned, you did not lay these things to your heart. Neither did you take into consideration the latter days, the latter end. You are given to pleasures. You are living carelessly. Therefore, evil shall come upon you. You shall not be able to stop it. Desolation shall come suddenly upon you. That's Isaiah 47, 7 to 11. He said it's going to come suddenly upon you. You were careless. You were negligent. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You neglected prayer. You neglected the Word of God. You had hours and hours to sit in front of a television set and watch everything damnable and stupid the devil put in your face. You had time to go out and cheat on God. You had time to go out and party. You had time for people. You had time for friends. You had no time for this book. You had no time to seek God. You had no time to humble yourself. You neglected this salvation. And every one of those deeds will be recorded in the book. I'm going to close in just a minute, but I've got to share something with you. Last Sunday night, I announced I'd be preaching about hell. And after the service, a young man from Vancouver, Canada, came to see me backstage with another young man. He'd come down here purposely. He works with street people in Vancouver. Came down purposely just to be a part of what God is doing here in Times Square Church. And he said, Brother Wilkson, you're preaching on hell next Sunday night. I believe this is one of the reasons God sent me here. And he rolled up his sleeve and he had a bodysuit on. And he opened his shirt. His bodysuit covered him here in his arms and he rolled it back. A bodysuit is a skin-toned covering. He was burned over 80% of his body. He pulled it over and it was just terrible. He said, 80% of my body. He said, last year, I got a job in an oil field in Canada. And there were 10 on this rig. And he said, he tried to serve the Lord. In fact, I wrote it down and I want to make sure that I get everything just as he told me. 80% of his body was covered. And he said, Brother Wilkson, I've just got to tell you, I worked there for 2.5 weeks. And he said, I was going to leave the next day. I was about to quit. It was ungodly. These men were so ungodly, they cursed. It was just awful. And he said, I was going to quit the next day. But the day before I quit. We were in the mess hall, and he was witnessing to a young man. And the boy sitting next to him stood up. He said, "Don't give me any of that Jesus garbage. I don't want to hear it. I don't want anybody to give me this Jesus junk. Just shut up." And he was angry at the very mention of the name of Jesus. The next day, in fact, this boy already had his bags packed. They're out at the rig, and there was an explosion. All 10 of them were burnt severely. 2 of them were killed, burnt to a crisp. Just burnt up. And this young man was burnt over 80% of his body, and he was running away from the fire. And the young man who'd cursed him said, "I don't want to hear the name of Jesus." He saw him laying there, his hands, he was charcoal, black. And he was crying, "Help, help." And this young man pulled him away from the fire. And that boy was about to die. He was going to die within 3 or 4 seconds. And you know what the last thing he said? In fact, this young man said, "Brother Dave, all you could see was the white of his eyes and the blue. Everything else was black. His hands were, he was just frozen up." And you know what the last thing he said? "Do I still have a nose? I feel my nose is gone." He died saying, "Do I still have a nose?" And he knew he was dying. Went out into hell thinking of his nose. And that young man was taken to the hospital, spent 3 months in the hospital. And he said, "Brother Dave, there was no drugs. They gave me the most powerful drugs and it couldn't stop the pain." He said, "They had to take skin off my scalp to put on my face." He said, "In fact, the only good skin he has is on his hands and his face. And only on 20% of his body." And he said, "Brother Dave, for 3 months, first 2 months, I had visions of hell every night." He said, "Don't tell me there's no pain in hell. Don't tell me there's no literal fire. God was showing me." He said, "God put such a fear in my heart. I know there's a living hell. I know there's an eternal hell." He said, "I just tasted of it. I tasted of it," he said. "And I didn't want to go to bed at night because I thought, well," he was thinking of all the compromises in his life. He's thinking every way he'd turn away from the Lord and how careless he'd been. But he didn't want to go to sleep. And suddenly one night he said, "Oh God, I can't take it anymore." And the Lord came down and he said, "Have you confessed your sins?" "Yes." "Are you going to rely on me? Are you going to trust me?" "Yes." "Then go to sleep." And he went to sleep and all the nightmares of hell were gone. It's not going to be a nightmare, it's a reality. And if you really believe what I'm preaching tonight, there's no way on this earth that you can sit for hours in front of a television set without getting into a secret closet and weeping for your children, your unsaved loved ones. If you believe what I'm preaching, that there's a godless eternal hell, why are you so wrapped up in the things of this world? Why aren't we weeping and praying for unsaved loved ones? Why? And why aren't we rejoicing more about being pulled as a brand right out of the burning? Hallelujah. You and I, brother, sister, had the mark of hell on us. Jesus came down and removed that mark of hell and put the mark of Jesus Christ on our forehead and said, "Redeemed by the blood." If Peter stood here preaching where I am tonight, he would thunder louder than I am. He would cry as loud as he could. "I've seen and I know the terror of a mighty God. I know the terror and the wrath of a holy God." He would scream it louder than I'm screaming it tonight. And you know what makes it worse for you tonight? Better you'd never heard this. Better you'd stayed home and watched television tonight. Should have been laughing with Bill Cosby or whoever's on Sunday night. Most dangerous thing you ever did, sinner, was to come here tonight. Because now you can't stand before God and say, "I didn't know." Oh yes, you know. You've heard it. You know there's a hell. I would to God I could make you smell the smoke and see the flames. But if it only touches your emotion, it's not going to do you any good. Until the Holy Ghost comes down to your heart and says, "Oh God, I thank you I tell you what, you know what fight me more about hell than anything else? Being cast into outer darkness, away from the face of God, from every Christian face, from everyone who's ever loved God, to be away from the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, to be cast away, to spend an eternity with transgressors, to be cut away from my God. That's hell to me. Above all the fire, above all the pain, the darkness, is to be cut away from His loving face and His mercy and His grace.